Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, it's been an exciting day already. Well, I came in this morning and was doing all the things that I knew that I had to go do and to get prepared, and I saw all the other guys, they were working and getting things done as well, and I broke out into a sweat. And I'm like, this is wrong. I'm hot natured anyway, once again, I thank you for following your leadership and being involved in what you're doing here to make this place safe, and we just love it. We really do. Pastor John, am I forgetting anything? It's sort of an unusual day, but I want to make sure. Am I forgetting anything? I'm sorry? The sermon. I have one person here that wants to hear the sermon. I'm grateful for Janet. I really am. No, I know the rest of it. I don't normally hold my phone up here, so I'm going to get rid of it. I wanted to try to document and video the evacuation, and by the time I got it turned on, y'all were gone. It's like, okay. Plus, I was going to time it, and I didn't even get that turned on. So all I can tell you, you did a great job. Yes. You really did. You did a great job. I want to revisit this thing concerning authority and power. Last week, we began to tell you a little bit about how it all began in the beginning in Genesis when actually in heaven when Lucifer failed, becoming so prideful and very impressed with his own beauty, and he was cast out of heaven, and he lost his authority there. But he lost his authority because he lost the very presence who gave him the authority, and but he kept his power. So we went through that last week, and I'd like for you to, you know, if you haven't heard it, you can go back and look at it, listen to it on the podcast on our website. But Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil. Well, the works of the devil was to steal the very authority that Adam and Eve had. And that's what he was able to do, because they surrendered, they yielded their authority to him by not following God's command and listening to the enemy and following what he wanted them to do, even though they thought it was what they needed to do. See, that's called deception. But we begin to understand that fallen man, we were all born in this sinful nature, because that's what happened. Because we lost the very thing that God had given us in the garden. So mankind lost that through Adam. I heard one person say, you know, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done that. And I said, the very reason you said that is evidence that you would have done that. But anyway, so Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and actually to get back the authority that Adam had lost and get it back to the people. So Jesus came, and you begin to see that he had the authority that was given to him by the Father. We went through that last week. The authority that he had was from God, the Father. The Bible says that he gave him the authority and power to be, and he had the power by the Holy Spirit, but he gave them the authority to be able to move, to be able to cast out demons, to be able to heal the sick, and to be able to do all of that. And we talked to you about authority is different than power. And if we lose our authority, we will have the tendency to begin to navigate to the place of authority, but we will use power to do it. That's how you get the controllers. That's how you get the people that is going to manipulate, control, and everything, because they're not operating in true authority. They're operating in a power to be able to gain authority when authority is actually bestowed. It is given to you by a higher authority. Amen? And we need to grab hold of that and begin to see that Christ got authority from his Father, because as the Son of Man, he had no authority. Because as a man, he lost authority. There wasn't any authority available. Not that he lost it, but it was lost to mankind through Adam. But he had the power and authority from on high. But he was later, after his death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible says that all authority was given to him. Everybody say, all authority. All authority was given to him. Do you know he meets with the disciples and he's telling them that he's giving them authority. Let's go to, let me see if I can locate this passage that I really want you to see, so we can condense some of this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. And having summoned his, everybody say 12 disciples. 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So he's gathering his 12 disciples together, and here's where a lot of people will sort of drive stakes down and say, well, this authority was only given to the 12. That is true in this verse. It is true in this verse. But I'll show you where he gives more people authority. But he gives them the authority. So what he's doing, he has not died. He has not been buried. He has not resurrected. This is him just being here. He's operating under the authority of his Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's operating under that authority. Because the Bible said, he gave me the authority. Father gave him the authority. The authority is the jurisdiction. In other words, authority is to be obeyed. Right? When you have authority, people obey. So he's operating in his own experience with the Father of him giving him authority. Then he brings his 12 and he begins to do this. I give you authority. Now, where did he get the authority? From the Father. Now, what is he doing? He's giving them authority from what? From his own experience with the Father. That's how he's gotten the authority from the Father. So he's giving them authority, which is temporary. What do you mean temporary, Pastor? Well, there's coming a time when they will be commissioned to have the authority from the Father. Right now, they're going to be operating under his authority, correct? Yeah, under his authority, they're going out and they're... And actually, they get amazed. They get amazed. Y'all remember that? They go out and cast out a few demons and heal a few sick. And you remember one passage that he talks about them? It talks about them coming back. And what are they? Does anybody remember what they say? Well, hey, even the demons obey us. What are they saying? The authority that you've given us, even the demons are obeying us. They're shocked. They're amazed. But see, they're operating under the authority that Jesus gave them through his experience. Are y'all with me? All right. And he says, I give you authority to go out and cast out demons. When you run across them, cast out demons. And also this, you can also what? healed sick. Authority. Then he goes on and he tells them, okay, he tells them, but now you're going to have to wait because you also need power. He told them to wait because they cannot fulfill everything that God wants them to fulfill just with authority. You need authority and power. So he told them to wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them to be able to do miracles. That word power there means dunamis. It's like dynamite. It's like explosive energy to be able to get things done. You know, we talked last week about, you know, him being in the boat, and the sea came, or the ocean, the winds of the sea rose up and started filling it up, and he was asleep in the boat, and they went to him and said, Master, don't you care we're perishing, we're dying. And then he, y'all remember that? And we talked about that last week, and they wake him from his sleep, and he gets aroused, and he speaks to the wind, and it dies down, and he tells the storm to hush, be quiet. And it said the winds and the waves obeyed him. See, that was the authority at work. Not just power, that was the authority that was at work. And Jesus, you know, they went to him, and I talked about this last week. I don't want to repeat myself a lot, but we talked about this last week concerning the thing of I thought it would have been a great time for Jesus to say, great job, guys. You're in a desperate need. You came to the master. You asked for help, and he helped you. Great job. But that's not what he did. He said, where is your faith? What happened to your faith? And the faith was what? The faith was doing what? Go to the other side that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. You can always count on Jesus and God, the Father, telling you what? And the Holy Spirit telling you what? The truth. They will not lie. So if he said we're going to the other side, they should have been standing on the word that we're going to the other side instead of being fretful that we're going to be dying. We're going to be sinking. And every storm that you can sleep in is the one that you have authority over. So if you begin to get fretful, we need to go back to see what God said. What has he said? How many of you have promises from God that you know or needs to still be fulfilled? Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I put never stop believing up on the board probably several weeks ago, and I had about 7 or 8 people said, why didn't you say don't stop believing? And it would have been a song. And I said, well, I wasn't thinking about a song, really. But we got to believe what God says is true. We got to stand in that place of believing that he said it was going to happen. That way our action can be based upon the truth and not based upon a fear or a doubt. How many of you have ever done anything out of fear? How many have not? You know what we did just a few minutes ago? We did not do that out of fear. We're not fearful. We did that out of the direction of the Holy Spirit to plan ahead, do things, get ready. Because one thing that people need to understand is this place is secure. This place is safe. This place is healthy. Do you know there's a lot of congregations that are not safe? Everybody do this way. Yeah. There's a lot of, why? Because it's not built upon the very center of who Christ is. When anything starts getting built around a man or even a denomination, if it gets built upon that foundation, it's going to shake. And it will actually fall, because unless that thing is built upon Christ, the solid rock, we've got problems. True? So anyway, he tells his disciples, you know, you need to wait. You need to get power as well. And Jesus over in Luke 10 says this. Here's the other group. The 70 returned. He had already sent out 70 more people. How many of you know that that's more than 12? My math says 70 is more than 12. Israel, is 70 more than 12? It is? Okay, so I'm right then, right? Okay, all right, so I'm right. So he's one of the math gurus. So 70 is more, so it's not just to the 12. There'll be people that says, no, that was only given to the 12. So only the 12 have that. That's not true. The 12 did have it, but he says in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us as we use your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Authority trumps power. But you need them both. And nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice over this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. So he really tells them, he said, look, here's 70. Everybody say 70. That's not just limited to the 12. That's a wrong teaching. That's error. It's for everybody. Now, what do you think? You know that he goes on in Matthew chapter 28. You remember that? He tells them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, big word here, therefore. He just didn't say, go and do this. No, he said, go ye, therefore. What is therefore connected to? Bob Mumford said this, whenever you see a therefore, go find out what it's there for. That's a good word. What is it connected to? His authority that he is giving you. Therefore, go. He is sending you out with authority. He is sending you forth with authority. Wouldn't it be bad for him to send us out to do and face the wolves and face the darkness without his authority? It'd be awful. It'd be terrible. But he didn't do that. Because you know why? Because we are a people of the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're the people of a promise. Of the promise. There's a promise. You know what a promised land is? You know, they were going to the promised land. Promised land is a land full of promises from God. We're a people of promise. So when God says, go ye therefore, with this authority, it's what he's saying, that promise is given to you. But not only is that promise, every promise that he gives you and I has what with it? All of heaven to get it accomplished. All of heaven's resources are there for you to get it accomplished. That's how he's sending you and I. That's how he is endorsing you and I to go do the work of the kingdom, to do work that is beyond the works that even greater works than what he did. But see, we lose the concept of authority. We always want the power, but we don't want the authority. Or we feel like the authority is not available for us. But it is available for us. And he wants his people to understand that authority is the jurisdiction to be able to speak to a thing and it changes. This passage in chapter 28 of 11 is called what? Anybody know? The Great, say it out loud. The Great Commission. Say it again. The Great Commission. See, it's the Great Commission. You know, that word commission is co-mission. Boy, that's brilliant, isn't it? Profound. Commission. I'll tell you this. He did not give you and I authority to fulfill our own agendas. You can't just take his authority and just go do whatever you want to do and say, well, I've got authority. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I really always wonder about these business cards that get handed out, and it's got every degree on it that you could, and every gift on it. They're an apostle, they're a prophet, they're an evangelist, they're a pastor, they're a teacher, they're this, and they're that. It's like, my antennas go up. I told one guy that handed me one, and he was very, intent to know, and he was very intent for me to know who he was. He gave me his card, and it was, I mean, the whole bottom was just full of all of this stuff. You know me. So, you don't need anybody. You do it all. No, I'm not saying that. And I said, that is what you're saying. You do it all. He said, well, brother, you're supposed to give honor where honor is due. Then what happened? I tell you one thing that happened. Tell it all. One thing that happened was my flesh was rising up. And I really wanted to. I really wanted to scrub him. I wanted to drench him. I wanted to wring him out and hang him out to dry. That's what my flesh wanted to do. But I didn't do that. But I wanted to. I looked at him and said, brother, I honor you. I honor you as my brother. Is that enough? He said, what about all of this? And I said, that's yours. I'm gonna honor you as my brother. Is that enough? He said, yes, but you need to learn how to honor a little deeper. I remember I looked at the card and I said, And you could use some humility. It then what? Y'all have got to quit. It ended well. I never saluted. I mean, I really didn't. I never saluted, but I did honor him as my brother, you know. But we cannot use the authority that gives God gives us to fuel our own agenda, because it will not be his authority. Because why? Do you know that's what happened to Lucifer? He had the authority that God had given him, and he started using the authority that God had given him to fuel his own personal agenda, his own personal way he wanted it to be. So our authority, this thing about the Great Commission is you only have the commissioned authority when you are in submission to the original mission. If you have surrendered and submitted yourself, and by the way, submit sometimes is not a good word amongst a lot of people, but it's a Bible word. If you're able to, when you submit to the original mission, you are then commissioned. You are then given that authority to be able to fulfill this original mission that is his. See, the difference in authority and power is that the authority comes from a relationship with God that he sees, and he brings you a mission. He brings you his mission and brings you into it and gives you the authority to operate in it. It comes through commission. Your authority, that is where your authority lies, is in your commission. And your commission is dedicated to the mission that is his, not your own. The thing about power is it is released to you by encounters. When you encounter the presence of God upon you, he empowers you. And then at the he says, be ye constantly being what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that's an encounter. See, power comes with encounters. You're standing somewhere and you see somebody that is sick, or you see somebody that you feel like God's brought you into this arena with this person, and you have an encounter. Bless you. You have an encounter. You have an encounter of God that you're supposed to do something here. That's how we should live, people. That is how we should live. We should live with an encounter of God every day. And maybe he wants you to pray for somebody. Maybe he wants you to just speak to him. Maybe he wants you to just minister to them right there, bless you, right there on the potato chip aisle. Well, well, to be faithful to the mission, you get the commission. You get the authority. And then when you've given the authority and you have the power that God has given you through encounter, what are you going to do with it? It is given to us to further the kingdom of God. Whether it benefits us in the natural or not. Y'all there? Okay. That's the reason. See, when we're intimidated by this thing about, well, no, what are people going to think? Listen, they already think. You may validate what they think. Who knows? But see, the thing is, It's not you building a reputation. It's you and I following the Holy Spirit, having the authority to go do. You know, authority throughout the Bible mostly is giving a voice to those who don't have one. Giving a voice in an issue, in a situation, to those who don't have one. There'll be a lot of people that we can take the authority over. You know, you remember the centurion? He goes to Jesus and says, what? I got a sick child. Right? And he says, now I know that you are a man of authority. You don't even have to go. You just say the word, and what does he understand? He understands authority. Let me help you with this. Why did he have so much understanding of Jesus' authority? He was under authority. Everybody say he was under authority. If you want to be in authority, you have to be under authority. You know, there is a lot of people, listen to me now, there's a lot of people who have a passion to do what God wants them to do. I mean, have a great passion. But they have not discovered being under authority that will streamline the fullness of what they want to do, because there's more than one doing it. You being under authority, you being under Jesus' authority and using his, he's given you authority, and you being under authority. By the way, you need to understand that all authority, Bible says in Romans 13, that all authority is what? From God. So if you want authority, you want to move in authority, you're going to have to be faithful to his mission. And you're going to have to be somebody that is under authority. There's a lot of people that says, I don't want to be under authority. It's just me and God. Everybody has an old song that says, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. I'll be here next week, so you can come. Now, but the tune sounds great, but what is it? It's just full of arrogance. I don't need anybody else. And that's so unlike what God planned for everybody. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. I don't need to have a pastor. I can get mine on the radio. I can get mine on the TV. I can get mine on the internet. I can get mine on the computer. I had one person to tell me, said, I don't need to come to church. And I said, why is that, brother? I said, well, I get everything I need on the internet. I watch great teachers and great preachers. And I said, hey, I ain't got a thing in the world about the internet. What's wrong with the internet? I don't. He said, so, well, that's where I'm at. I said, okay. The next tragedy you have, are you going to call these boys? And then what happened? I know, I got it. I did. I said, y'all, you going to call these guys the next tragedy you have? Do you think they're going to come and help you bury somebody? You won't even see them. They don't know you. Somebody asked me one time, said, how many people you pastor? I actually told them, I think I told them the first time, I told them 30. So you got more people that goes over there. And I said, you didn't ask that question. You asked, How many people do I pastor? I only pastor the ones that let me. You can contend, you can attend, and I can never pastor you if you don't let me. I'm not a hireling. Y'all with me? So I want to pastor everybody. Brenda actually told me one time, she said, "Are you supposed to, pastor the world?" And I said, "What do you mean by that?" "You talk to everybody." Everybody. You talk to everybody. I said, "Well, that's not pastoring." Well, she said, "So it sounds like it to me." We got to close, I know. One pastor told me, he said, he's got, and I don't like it when these discussions come up. How many do you have at your church? I really don't like those. I was in a discussion with three other pastors, and I've got 300 and something, I've got 200 and something, and I've got 400. How many do you have? I said, none. All of mine belong to God. Boy, I just love doing that. I said, they're not my people. When I took this church as a senior pastor, I remember distinctly the Lord telling me distinctly, "You hold my people." He didn't say that was mine. He said, "You hold my people this way, not this way." When they're here, you have responsibility to tell them the truth and to take care of them, but they're free to come and they're free to go. You do not hold on to any of them. And I've tried my best to do that exact thing. He goes on and says, "All authority has been given to me, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Watch this. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Amen. So everybody that you disciple gets to hear about authority. Now it got bigger. Way bigger than 12. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Okay. So your authority comes out of your relationship with God. See, he had a relationship with these guys, and then he began to just give this authority out, that you would have jurisdiction, that you would have the authority, you would have the right to be able to declare and say something and it happen. But it can't be your agenda, and it can't be mine. That's the reason we have to listen to the Father. We have to listen, what is it you want to do here? And then go and do it. That's what he told these guys. Go teach them to observe the things that I have taught you. He taught them about authority, that they had authority over, that they could cast out demons and heal the sick. See, we got so much bad teaching that says, you can't do that. That's not for today. Now, wouldn't that be something? No. Now, I helped these disciples. I helped these 12 out. And I gave, but now you guys, you're on your own. That's not the Father. That's not the way he operates. Okay. Say, I'm here. I want you to stand to your feet. Jan wants to know what?
Drill.
The drill. She wants another drill. Okay, we will dismiss everybody in just a moment. Don't give away the authority that you've been given by your pride. Amen. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. When we have authority, we have to stay a humble people, but not a people who have veered from promise. We stay a humble people, right? And we don't let pride get in our way. We don't try to be abusive of authority. And we always have to stick to the original what? Mission. To use this authority, we have to have a co-mission. We're in operation of the mission with God. Isn't that wonderful? Don't give it away. Don't try your own agenda with it, because it won't work. Don't try to go places that God didn't send you. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They wanted all this, you know, they wanted all this authority that they didn't have a relationship. They was going to use all this, and what happened? The demon said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Beat, stripped, naked. Why? Because they didn't have it. Do you understand that you can have power without having authority? Matthew 7 proves that. Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not? Jesus looked at him and said, what? Depart from me, for I never, you're workers of iniquity. You're bent toward doing your own thing. I never knew you. They had no authority. That's the reason we can't be wowed by the power, because the enemy will do signs and wonders in our midst, but he doesn't have authority. Are y'all with me? Well, this is good stuff. Let's get it in us, amen. Grab somebody's hand. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you, God, that you are working inside us to be able to do your will. And we ask you, Father, to reinstate for us the authority that you have given all your believers. Lord, that we would use it wisely, we would use it in connection to your mission, no matter where we go. And we ask your presence to be manifested in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the bell rings, just all go in one line and you can go, nope. God bless you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.